He secured a very great reward of multiplication. What have I said? He secured what? A reward of what? Multiplication. Please, what I'm sharing tonight is not for babies. So, Abraham gave. Now, all what people talk about is the giving. He gave his son. But what was in the reward? What did God say in return? So, if you check chapter 22 of Genesis, particularly verse 17, the Bible says what? Blessing, I will bless you. And multiplying, I'll multiply your descendants. Now, this is very important. Now, please, 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 I'm begging you to pay attention. Are you here? Yes. Can you come over here, son? Yeah. Just stand here. Now, imagine he stands here. All right. How many phones you have in your hands? One. Now, imagine he's giving his phone. What did Abraham give? A son. A human being, right? What he gave, God said it will come back to you multiplied. Now, in the scripture, it says what? In a blessing, I will bless you. And in multiplying, I will multiply your what? Are they properties or human beings? Was he giving properties or he was giving a human? So what he was giving, God said to come back to you, how? Multiplied. As the stars of heaven and as the sand which is on the seashore, and your descendants shall possess the gate of their enemies. Second transaction. So first transaction, I will give you the same that you gave, but multiplied. The second transaction, what I'll give you, it will what? It will possess, it will take over the gates of your enemies. Are you tired? In Joshua 13, verse 30, can you read it?
Their territory was from Mahanaim, or Bashan, or the kingdom of Og, king of Bashan, and all the towns of Jair, which are in Bashan, 60 cities.
In Numbers 21, verse 33.
And they turned and went up by the way of Bashan. So Og, king of Bashan, went out against them, he and all his people, to battle at Edwell.
Mm-hmm.
Then the Lord said to Moses, do not fear him, for I have delivered him into your hands with all his people and his land. And you shall do to him as you did to Sihon, king of Amorites, who dwelt at Heshbon.
35.
So they defeated him, his sons, and all his people, until there was no survivors left him, and they took possession of his land.
Now, who is doing this battle? The people of who? Israel. And the descendants of who? Abraham. They fought different battles from Egypt along the whole way and lost none. They won all the battles because their father secured a promise through giving. Abraham had a transaction. All their defeat, they thought maybe they are skillful. They thought maybe, no. Someone had a deal with God. What you are doing today, some of you may not know it. You are securing the future, creating a generational legacy of victory for your children and your descendants. Imagine all you think is yourself. God did not say you will possess the gates of your enemy. He said your children. Your descendants. The reason sometimes why some of your children are getting lost because the parents do not know the power of sacrifice. I want you to say with me right now, say, my family by my sacrifice, shall possess, the gates of the enemies.
We will defeat
every enemy.
My family,
my children,
we shall possess.
We shall control the gates of the enemy. Now, when God said your children shall possess the gates of the enemy, we need to find out what are the gates of the enemy. Number one, we shared this before, but I'm going to tell you in passing, they are financial gates. Are you there? They are financial what? In Isaiah 43, the Bible says what? Your gates shall open what? Continually, so that men can bring the worth. So they are financial gates. And the enemy normally stops the gates. Oh, are you there? And Jesus said to Peter, I give you the keys. And the gates of hell shall not prevail. So we also have gates of hell. Gates of hell are gates where Satan uses to torment you, to put you in a problem, to mess you up. You can find everything is going wrong because all gates of hell are loosed against you. Now, the Bible says your enemies, they are gates. It says it will be you in charge. Why? Because of the giving. I'm talking to somebody right here. So there will be what you have given, the sacrifice you have given, it shall come back to you. How? Multiplied. Number two, not only shall it come back multiplied, it will have the power to control every door, entrance of the enemy. Imagine you had given money and God says to come back to you multiplied. And with that money, you'll be able to stand against all gates of the enemy. If the enemy was using debts as a gate, with what has come back to you multiplied, you'll pay off your debts. If the enemy was using any other door that was trying to, with what God shall give you, you'll be able to control every gate of the enemy around you. I pray in the mighty name of Jesus. May your sacrifice to God, may it start to stand for you. May it start speaking for you. I decree and declare, whatsoever I've given to God, come back multiplied. Come back multiplied. And may it go ahead of you and fight your battles and control every gate of the enemy. Somebody shout and receive it. Your gates. Your gates, which the enemy has been trying to stop them. Imagine that the gates of the enemy uses even bronze. And God said to Cyrus in Isaiah 45, he said what? He said, God said, I'll go before you to open that gate of bronze. I'll cut it and I'll break it so that you have access to the wealth, hidden wealth, because the enemy uses gates. And God said, your descendants shall possess the gates of the enemies. Until today, the people of Israel are the most richest people, in the most billionaires in one country, because they have been given access because of one sacrifice that their grandfather did. Imagine if this can be the portion of your children because of you. Imagine if this can be the portion of your company because of what you gave. But guess what? We just give. How many are giving the offering? I'm giving. Touch your screen. Give the gift. How many are supporting the poor? We want to give now. We want to help the poor. We give. Religiously. Just out of religion. Days are gone when we do things out of religion. Days are gone when we do things just out of faith. These are days where we go beyond traditional norms. And we do things out of intelligence. We know the transactions behind. I'm talking to somebody right here. And unfortunately, we are so much attuned to only know evil transactions if I do this, I'll go to hell. That's the only thing you know. The transactions, demonic transactions, if I do this, this will happen to me. This bad thing will happen to me. We are so obsessed with evil things. You know, if you do things, this will happen to you. If you do this, this will happen to you. Come on. They are godly transactions. Abraham secured two transactions. Multiplication and security. Social, economic, and physical security for his lineage and his whole familyhood. Can you imagine if you can secure that for your family? Where you know that me, all my children, we are covered because of one giving. Haya mandere bashika. Rakapahata ramande. Can saramatiyaba. Sharia mahande the hair. Somebody shout in the name of Jesus.
Name of Jesus.
I speak protection.
I speak protection.
Economic security.
Economic security.
Social security.
Social security.
Financial security. Divine security.
Divine security.
Through my sacrifice.
Through my sacrifice. Powerful.
I hate doing things out of just doing it. I really don't like it. Just because I'm doing it and we're doing it. Oh, yeah. It's my passion to be giving to God. No, I don't. Giving is not a passion. You think it was a passion to take Isaac, to say it's my passion. I love giving. I've taken my son out of passion. You think it was a passion? You are joking. You think it was a passion like I've taken my son for a sacrifice? It was a sacrifice for transaction. Verse 18. Let's go ahead, verse 18. We're not done. Check verse 18.
In your seed, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed because you have obeyed my voice.
Number three. Someone say number three. He secured a deal to be in charge of all nations.
Of the earth.
Through him, through his family. If nations will be blessed throughout the whole world, through his family. You're not getting it. Are you here? Are you here? You know what? I know most of you don't even know your great-great-grandfather. Because he was a nobody. But you shall be known. You didn't hear me. The fifth generation in your family, they'll talk about you. We don't even know other men of God in Israel who actually existed. They were not written in the Bible. But we know of Abraham because of sacrifice. Don't just do things. You should know what you are doing. There is a transaction. Somebody say with me, there's a transaction. There is a reward. Don't just use effort. Have intelligence. What I'm doing, you should be very much focused on what the outcome on what you're doing. So number one, we look at Abraham. His sacrifice of his son that secured him one international dose of dominance. The man became a controller of the whole region. Economically, in chapter 12, verse 2, verse 3, the man was a gold tycoon. The man was supplying meat to the whole Middle East. The man was big in everything. Abraham, the same Abraham. You must know these mysteries. We're not just here praying and speaking in tongues and waiting for heaven. We are going to heaven, yes. But we have to pay rent. We have kids to send to school. We have bills. So we're not just here saying we're praying, Jesus is coming soon. He is coming soon, but he will not going to find you stuck outside failing to pay rent. He will find you in your own mansion. Somebody say with me, you'll not find me struggling. He will find me happy. Are you here? Are you sure you're here? Can we go to the second person? The kingdom transaction throughout what Abraham did, the entire Jewish and messianic lineage was secured by his sacrifice. Abraham didn't just build wealth, he built a bloodline that would produce the Messiah. Number two, let's go to Moses. Somebody say Moses. We are still on sacrifice, right? Yes. Say Moses.
Moses.
The sacrifice of earthly kingdoms for a greater one. This one was not money. I've told you before that sometimes it's not, when we talk about sacrifice, it's not just about giving money. He sacrificed his identity. Remember, he was picked by Pharaoh's daughter and he grew up in the palace in Egypt. But one day he sacrificed his identity for the sake of his people. He said, I cannot be enjoying the passing pleasures in Pharaoh's house. If it's to suffer, I will suffer. And it's what I told you earlier. Some of you here used to have your nice champagnes, your wines, your what. You sacrificed those things for the sake of the kingdom. But yet you are broke. You need a transaction tonight. Even the way you're answering, it's like you're not even... Imagine you're not enjoying out there. You're not even going out. People are going, people are enjoying. You left everything for the sake of the kingdom. And then... That much as we know it is for the sake of the heavenly kingdom. But Jesus Christ told us one thing. He said, nobody will leave his father, his mother, on all these passing pleasures of the world for the sake of my name. He said, if you shall do that, you shall have plenty in this age and even the age to come. Now get this statement. In Hebrews 11, verse 24 to 26, what did Moses do?
By faith, Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh.
Imagine
Pharaoh's
that.
Daughter.
Imagine that.
Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin.
Did you hear that? Go ahead, verse 26.
Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he looked for the reward.
Did you hear that? Did you hear that? He said, I don't want to be called Pharaoh's daughter's son. I choose to suffer for the kingdom. So he abandoned the palace and ran away. And a man who was in the palace was now suffering and taking care of the sheep. But there was a transaction. God followed him. And I'm now choosing you to be a ruler over Israel. You're not getting it. And God said, now leave. You'll go to him. Now Moses went to the same kingdom. He ran away. And he began to speak to Pharaoh. Not the daughter of Pharaoh. No. Diplomatic conversations. King versus king. He's now king over Israel. Wow. Kingdom transaction. What was the kingdom transaction? Theocratic economy. An economy was organized by heaven for him to manage. The Bible says, and all the money of Egypt went into the hands of the people of Israel. And who was leading the economy? It was Moses. That they had God until he even said, please, it's enough. Am I talking to somebody? When he called for God, the Bible said people were giving until he said, no, it's enough. You have given so much God. There was a theocratic economy created because of his behavioral sacrifice. He sacrificed, it's better I suffer for the kingdom. There were nice things in the palace, enjoyments, but he said, I will suffer for the sake of the kingdom. But God rewarded him. Not just being a son of Pharaoh's daughter, but this time around being a prophet of the Most High God. He was rewarded because of his sacrifice and character. Imagine how many things you have abandoned. Many places you used to go before, things you used to do. You could have been doing those things for the sake of the kingdom, you abandoned them. Much as there's a reward in heaven, but there is something that God wants to show you that he can give you. The verily, verily I say unto you, no one leaves this and that for the sake of the kingdom. You will have a reward from God. We will start seeing rewards in your life from tonight. God will begin to speak to people through your character. God will say, I know you have abandoned this for the sake of my name. I know you stopped this because of me, and I will bless you. I will open channels for you. Somebody say, I'm hearing you, prophet. Imagine the sacrifice. Imagine the sacrifice that you leave the palace and you go and become an ordinary shepherd boy, taking care of the sheep in the mountains, moving in the mountains. For the sake of the kingdom I have chosen, it's better I suffer like this. Some of you are suffering. You could be rich if you wanted to. You could have gone into other dirty ways to make money. But you said, I don't want to do these things for the sake of the kingdom. And you mean you should remain like that? And die like that? No. No. God should reward you. In Mark 10 verse 30. Yes, check it. Mark 10 verse 30.
Who shall not receive a hundredfold now in this time? Houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children.
Wait, let's start from verse 29. All right, let's first NIV. Give me NIV. I want you to say something here.
Truly, I say to you, I tell you, Jesus replied, no one who has left home or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or field for me and the gospel.
Imagine.
Will fail to receive 100 times as much in this present.
Will fail to receive how much?
100 times.
Not
as
two
much.
Times. 100 times.
As much in this present age.
Not in heaven. Mm-mm. Uh-uh. In this present life we are living now. Uh-huh.
Homes. Brothers.
Sisters.
Mothers.
Children.
And fields. Along with persecutions.
Wait a minute. Wait. I want us to see the transaction. What you will receive in this time. Children, homes, fields, farms. It's just in this present age, one. It's just it will come with the persecutions, but you will receive it. In this present age, now look at that. It says this what? And in the age.
And in the age to come.
Eternal life. When you die, when the rapture happens, you also have eternal life. In this age, fields, homes, people begin to go, brother, even if they're not your brother, like a brother. The Bible says brothers, sisters, people you don't even know, like, you are my sister. From when? Right now, they just look at you like this. You comment something on a WhatsApp family WhatsApp group, no one comments. They think you are useless. Very soon they begin to say, you know, that one is my brother. Yeah. The Bible says, no one, because of your sacrifice for eternal life. But guess what? We have got people who have no intelligence. They say, I'm a believer. Yeah, I'm a believer. You're living like this and you die like that. Because you do not have intelligence, you will not claim what belongs to you in prayer. So Moses abandoned. When he abandoned everything, guess what? God said, because you abandoned everything from Pharaoh, Pharaoh will no longer be your size. You will be greater than Pharaoh. In Exodus 7 verse 1, How great did he become? In Exodus 7 verse 1, the Bible says what?
Then the Lord said to Moses, see, I have made you like God to Pharaoh.
Stop there. Stop. What was the reward now? Pharaoh is no longer his grandfather. Because remember, the daughter of Pharaoh picked Moses. So he would call Pharaoh as what? Grandfather. But God twisted things. He says, when he looks at you, to him you look, he will see you as his God. People who are chasing you, remember he had run away from Pharaoh. People who are hating you right now, when they look at you, they will look at you as their God. Anything you say, I say, yes, madam. Yes, sir. Yes, yes, madam. Why? Because of understanding sacrifice and transaction. Whatever you are, whatever you are doing, it's not in vain. I promise you, I know right now some of you could be doing crazy things. Some of you, if you wanted the money, you could have sold your bodies. There are some women who said, I cannot sell my body because of the kingdom. And you mean it should remain like that? And then you are not selling your body. You are keeping your dignity. You are keeping your spirituality. And then you also have no money and you are suffering and your life is miserable. No! You deserve a breakthrough. Raise your hand as I receive my breakthrough. Imagine there are people right now who could be gangsters. If they wanted the money, they could have done crazy things. But you are in church. Some of you are even preaching the gospel. And then you are suffering. It is because you do not have the intelligence. Jesus said you are suffering because you do not know the scriptures. Are you here? Because they do not know the scriptures. Ask your neighbor, so all this sacrifice. Ask your neighbor, so all this sacrifice. Zero. Nothing. Say, not me. Somebody say, not me, not me, not me. Say, something's happening. Come on, somebody say, something's going to happen. Say, my sacrifice to God will provoke a transaction. In this age, even in the age to come, eternal life. Can you read in Matthew 22, verse 29 to 30?
Jesus replied, you are in error because you do not know the scriptures or the power of God.
Imagine. Just stop there. Why are you suffering?
You do not know.
You do not what? No, the word know there gives us the word knowledge, which is what? Intelligence. Simple, we do not have intelligence. Jesus said, you are making mistakes because you do not know the scriptures and the power. How can you sacrifice your life like this and remain like this? One, the sacrifice of Abraham. Two, the sacrifice of Moses. He sacrificed his identity, his character. He said, I will not compromise. On the same, we can even add Daniel. In chapter 1, verse 9, okay, up to verse 10 and 11, the Bible speaks of Daniel, how he refused to eat best things, wine, and all other things. How he said, I will not accept these things. Let's start from verse 8.
But Daniel resolved not to defile himself with the royal food and wine.
Yeah,
and he asked the chief official for permission not to defile himself this way.
Read again.
But Daniel resolved not to defile himself with the royal food and wine. And he asked the chief official for permission not to defile himself this way.
Okay, now look at that. He refused to be drinking wine. He said, I want it. And there are people right now who don't even take wine, alcohol, because of the kingdom. And nothing is happening. Let's see the transaction that happened. In chapter 2, this is chapter 1. He refused wine. and all other luxury. He said, no, I will not defile myself. In chapter 2 from verse 48, can you read it? What happened to him?
Then the king promoted Daniel and gave him many great gifts, and he made him ruler over the whole province of Babylon.
Imagine that.
And chief administrator over all the wise men of Babylon.
Prime minister. Somebody shot transaction. Easy for you. You're no longer drinking wine. And what came in return? You stopped drinking wine. You stopped going out, doing all these things. What came in return? Demotion. They are in error because they do not know the scriptures, neither the power of God. Look what Daniel, he said, no, I want believing this life. The man said, I will not take wine. I will not defile myself. In chapter 2, this chapter 1, in chapter 2, he became the chief commander. He became the prime minister in Babylon, which today is called Iraq. And he was not an Iraqi from Iraq. He was from Israel. He was a foreigner and became a prime minister because of his sacrifice. Just behave your sacrifice. I will not do this for the sake of the kingdom and God promotion. You have been avoiding certain things for a long time. You can't kill where you are because you love God and get nothing. You can't murder. You can't do what? For the sake of the kingdom. And what is coming in return? Nothing. This is why people are leaving Christianity. They see no benefit. I'm telling you, this is why people end up saying, I'm not seeing the result. Because they are not intelligent enough to harness their sacrifice and turn it into a kingdom transaction. Raise your hand and say, in the name of Jesus, whatsoever belongs to me, I receive it now. Say, oh Lord, see my sacrifice. Remember my sacrifice. Oh Heavenly Father, remember my sacrifice. Somebody say intelligence. I tell all the times, sacrifice and kingdom transactions. I always tell you this. I don't like people who pray outside intelligence, who live, who behave outside spiritual intelligence. There are so many things being done in the kingdom, and people are doing them ignorantly. The Bible speaks of the end times. What shall be given in the end times is not just money. How do you have the money? It says the knowledge of the glory, not the glory. The Bible does not say the glory of God shall fill the earth. No, it says the knowledge of the glory shall cover the earth, as waters cover the sea. All what we need is the knowledge. Are you here, somebody? Yes, sir. What we need is what?
Knowledge.
The knowledge. Which gives us intelligence. So if you know how to do it, if you know how to pray. Some here, prophet. Read it. Habakkuk 2 verse 14. Read it. It says what?
It says, for the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord.
Many people jump knowledge. They just say the earth will be filled with the glory. No.
As the water covers the sea.
Shall be filled with the knowledge
of the glory.
The know-how. How much you know. And the word glory there comes from different contexts. There's the kavod, which is the heavy weight of God's glory. There is doxa, which is the material possession of God's inheritance. Now, God says, I will fill the earth with the knowledge of my glory. If there is a moment, we will know
what to do,
what is worth, how to govern it, how to manage it, how to harness the systems, how to disrupt the system and rewrite how things are supposed to be done in the church. It even goes, I will pour my spirit and my sons and daughters shall see visions. If there is a place where we need to have visionaries, it's in the church. Somebody say, I will not sacrifice and remain the, same. So we have seen the sacrifice of Moses, the sacrifice of who? Abraham, the sacrifice of who? Of Daniel. All these. Now, on the same Moses, we have seen the kingdom transaction that ended up with a theocratic economy. The whole economy was created for him to manage. And everything that belongs to the people of Israel came into the hands of Moses. And he became an administrator to manage all the resources that came from Egypt. I pray in the mighty name of Jesus. Everybody, wherever you are, raise up a hand. May God remember your giving.
In Jesus' name.
May the Lord Almighty remember your sacrifice. In the mighty name of Jesus. Let's look at another one. Can we go ahead and see someone else? Somebody shout David.
David.
Shout louder. I said David.
David.
Don't worry, we'll go and come as well into the New Testament in a few minutes from now, right? Because there are people who say, what about in the New Testament? It's even more worse. More worse still. In fact, more revelations in the New Testament. Whatsoever you are, whatsoever been becoming, shall yield a result. Imagine watching the prophet the whole night on your TV like this. For years. Sacrificing when other people are enjoying other things. And you're like, no, I wanna be in the house of God. And then you are, nothing is changing. Tonight, if you're watching me, you're in the right channel. Because you will receive your reward. I'm telling you, you will receive your reward. Said David. The cost of establishing a kingdom altar. When Israel sinned against God, God was so angry. And he departed from Israel. So David had to go and offer a sacrifice. Are you here? Somebody shout the sacrifice. He went to offer a sacrifice. And when he was about to buy what to give God, the woman who was selling, she said, No, man of God, you can't buy from me. Me also, I'm sowing it for free. And David said, I will not receive it for free. I cannot give God what cost me nothing. I have to pay for this. For this to reach God, I have to give. It has to cost me something. Because he understood the transaction. Now let's go in the book of Samuel. And we're going to read from 2 Samuel 24, verse 24.
Then the king said to Arona, no, but I'll surely buy it from you for a price. Nor will I offer burnt offerings to the Lord, my God, with that which cost me nothing. So David bought the threshing floor and the oxen for 50 shekels of silver.
Read again with emphasis.
Then the king said to Arauna, no. But I will surely buy it from you for a price. Nor will I offer burnt offerings to the Lord my God with that which cost me nothing. So David bought the threshing floor and the oxen for 50 shekels of silver.
2 Samuel 7 from verse 15. And I want you to see something here that is very important. All right? Now, I want you to get this first before we read the scripture. What was making these great men to sacrifice? they understood the transaction. When Daniel sacrificed his character, there was a promotion. When Moses sacrificed his identity, there was a promotion. When Abraham sacrificed his son, there was a lifting up. What happened when David, he said, I will not give God what cost me nothing. See the scripture. The Bible says what?
But my mercy shall not depart from him.
That's David, okay?
As I took it from Saul, when I removed from before you, and your house and your kingdom shall be established forever before you. Your throne shall be established forever.
Okay. God said, my love on you will never depart. Your house will be established forever. Your kingdom. Do you know why we have rapture? Do you know why we're going to have rapture? Because God would want to establish again the kingdom of David. I want you to understand this. The whole rapture, all of us who are praying, the whole world, we are praying because God would want to establish again the kingdom of David. Because God promised that his kingdom will live forever. Imagine that a man secured a deal that the whole world one day should be raptured just to live in his kingdom. What is your sacrifice doing? The man said, I will not give God what cost me nothing. The reason when you see us giving, when you see us moving around giving, when you see us busy in the kingdom giving, we know the transaction. If you have been giving and you don't know the power of the transaction, I want to welcome you in this knowledge world where we know what our giving can do. May you move from one level to another level. I say, may you be moved from the position you are to a position where God wants you to be. Somebody shout, I receive in the name of Jesus.
I receive in the mighty name of Jesus.
Let's look at another person. The last one. And then we go into prayer. He's on the last one in this. Maybe let's go to the New Testament first. Let's start with our Lord Jesus. Jesus Christ, the ultimate sacrifice. If sacrifice had no power to impact humanity, transform lives, and change the ecosystems, then Jesus would not have come as a sacrifice. The coming of Jesus in a sacrificial way tells us how God values and sees sacrifice. That even Jesus had to be sacrificed for God to achieve his goals. Imagine, as God as he is, he's so powerful that if he wanted, he would have just appeared in the air to say, I am Jesus, everyone on earth. And the whole world could have seen him. Repent now. From now, anyone who accepts me as the Lord and the Savior shall be saved. Then he would have gone back to the heavens. And the Bible could be written that there was a moment he appeared. But he didn't do that. He came as a sacrifice. One, he sacrificed his character, his life, his identity. He sinned not. He lived and then he went on the cross and died as a sacrifice. What was the transaction? Your salvation, my salvation. So where you are, begin to understand this. Your character, how you are living, your behavior. Let something come out of this. Refuse to be suffering for the sake of the kingdom and receive nothing from heaven. May your gates open tonight. I command, may your gates open tonight. Otherwise, people keep on laughing at you. Hey, you believe God, so what's happening with you? You go to church, so what's happening with you? So spiritually, his sacrifice achieved a kingdom agenda of salvation for all. Financially, the sacrifice of Jesus established a new covenant economy where grace and dominion replaced the old priestly system. Let's go to Apostle Paul. The sacrifice of prestige for apostolic mission. The sacrifice of prestige. Maybe you don't know who he was. Let me tell you. He was a national prosecutor. Paul was a national prosecutor. Maybe you don't know who Paul was. Most people don't know that Paul was that. They just say he was just a lawyer. He was a national prosecutor who would actually sign for you to be prosecuted, and he would actually hunt you if you're born again. He was there when he signed for Stephen to be stoned. He sacrificed when he saw no killing God's people. He said, it's better I suffer for the sake of Christ. Let's go to Philippians. Philippians 3, verse 7 to 10. Can you read it for me?
But what things were gain to me, these I have counted loss for Christ.
Imagine.
Yet indeed, I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things.
He lost everything.
And count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ. And be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith.
Verse 10.
That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death.
What was the kingdom transaction? His sacrifice secured the foundation of the church today. All churches were built until today under the foundations of Paul. We have churches today, the whole world. Not just churches, churches the whole world. Buildings, everything you see in the world, all churches. The man who was behind this, there was a sacrifice. What is your sacrifice doing? I read these takeaway points for you. Takeaway points that I want you to. These are key takeaway points for you. As you're still standing there, and I want you to hear this. The scale of your sacrifice determines the scale of dominion. The scale of your what? It determines. The more the sacrifice, the more the dominion. Abraham didn't just give money. He gave the son of promise. Jesus didn't just give his teachings. He gave his life. You are called to more than economic transformation. You are called to build an eternal system. It's not just to receive money after you have given to God and then you receive money. No, what you must receive, it must be a system that will affect even your children, your children's children. There must be a system. Not just something trying like, oh, I got money. No. It's beyond the money. It must be, whether it's a blessing, whether it's a financial blessing, whatsoever it must be, but it must be a system. Sacrificial transactions open and match dimensions of authority. David's sacrifice gave him a dynasty that outlived empires. Kingdoms came, kingdoms came. Until today, the people of Israel respect David. Jesus came. Any good thing he would do, the people would say, son of David. They never said son of Joseph. Forget about it. There was a king called Herod. They never said son of Herod. Forget about it. It outlived. His dynasty outlived empires, systems. He inherited a system. Are you following? Your kingdom sacrifice isn't just about wealth. It is about spiritual jurisdiction. There is a spiritual jurisdiction, an authority, a realm that God says you operate in this realm. Sacrifices must align with the divine purpose. Solomon's excess offering triggered divine wisdom. I want to say something about Solomon here that is very important. The sacrifice of excess to unlock eternal wisdom, which was given by Solomon. He sacrificed 1,000 burnt offerings at Gibeon, when only one was required. What have I said? He sacrificed 1,000 when only how many were required? One was required. Excess. How many excess? 999. Excess. He said, no, I will not gonna give no more. I know we need one. Everyone in the Bible, including Abraham, we are giving one. One boo. One boo. He said, I'll give excess to unlock supernatural wisdom. He inherited a system, a jurisdiction through which he was operating on. Father, help your people. In response, God granted him divine wisdom, wealth, and dominion. His wisdom positioned Israel as the wealthiest and the most influential kingdom in his time. Nations came to hear the wisdom of God from him. It will happen with you. A question that I want everybody else here to have. What sacrifice will unlock the throne room transactions that bring generational dominion? Sometimes, all what God wants us to do is to sacrifice certain behavioral patterns. And he has been speaking to you, my son, can you change here? My daughter, change here. Sometimes it's all about attitudes. Sometimes it's all about certain things. You say, you know what? For the sake of the kingdom, I will not do that. But then that sacrifice, we should have intelligence that it will attract a kingdom transaction. Imagine you no longer go in those places. Imagine you don't do those things anymore. And then you're just still like that. Job sacrificed his marriage. His wife said, you know what, just curse God. He said, just curse God and die. He said, if you want to go, go. The wife left. What was the transaction? Restoration. How many people have sacrificed things and they're still like that? Because the Bible says you are in error because you do not know the scriptures and the power of God. There must be a transaction. if Jesus saw sacrifice as an as the only alternative, only ultimate alternative for humanity, only, no any other way, only, why are you not seeing this? Tonight I want us to pray that God, you know, I may not be perfect, but my heart towards you has always been perfect. I have sacrificed. Some of you, you had friends, you even left them. Some of you, you are even hated by some of people. Some of you, you have got issues you are having because of God. Say, tell him tonight to say, God, remember me. Remember, show me a sign. Let there be a sign to show these people. Let there be a sign. Somebody say a sign. No, 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 no. Say it again. Say a sign. Show me a sign. Show me a sign of my miracle. Say it again. Psalm 86 verse 17. New Living Translation.
Send me a sign of your favor. Then those who hate me will be put to shame. Read. For you, O Lord, help and comfort me.
Read again.
Send me a sign of your favor.
Exactly. We want to pray today. God, I have sacrificed. I give. I am devoted. I changed. And I'm even willing to change him all. Father, I need a sign. This sign must be a sign of his favor. Are you here, somebody? What was a sign of Daniel when he sacrificed his life? Promotion. What about Moses? He became a god to Pharaoh. What about Abraham? His descendants will multiply and they will possess the gates of the enemy. And through him, all nations in the world shall receive a blessing. What about Moses? Theocratic economy was created. What about Paul? The foundation of all churches. What about Jesus? Your salvation. And a new covenant economy was created. We're no longer standing on that. No, we stand on the covenant of Jesus Christ. On anything we want, we have a covenant of worth. Everybody had a sign. Tonight we are praying, God, show me a sign of your favor. Say loud, oh Lord, show me a sign of your favor. In Isaiah 7, verse 11, New Living Translation, God even comes to you and asks you. Okay, what does God say? Ask the Lord your God for a sign of confirmation. Imagine. He says, Ahaz, ask me anything difficult. Make it as difficult as you want. As high as heaven or as deep as the place of the dead. Ask a sign. I'll give you a sign. Then a sign. What was a sign? I'll even make a virgin to conceive. Can this be possible? But it will happen as a what? As a sign. Imagine we want a sign now. You have no contract, no nothing. And tomorrow morning you wake up with a contract. As a sign. Imagine. Imagine. God said, ask me a sign.
As difficult as
you can. As difficult as you can. Ask me for a sign. I want you to make it difficult. I want you to make it difficult. Ask God for a sign. Say, God, I need a sign now. I want something to be done. That it has never been done. Can you imagine? God says, a virgin shall conceive. What a sign. I used to hear somebody. In verse 14, when he refused, when Ahaz said, I don't know what to ask. What did God say?
All right then. The Lord himself will give you the sign.
Imagine. Okay, so I want to address. Okay, camera. Hey, look at me. I want to address these people. It's fine. I know you are being nice. You don't want to ask for a sign. It's fine. God himself will give you a sign. Yes. All right then. When he refused, he said, I know God, I know. I don't want to test you. God said, it's fine. I, God, will give you what? All right then. I, the Lord, will give you a sign. If you're watching me, God will give you a sign. If you're looking for a job, he will give you not only one. You're going to have three offers as a sign. You will have a problem which one to choose. If you're looking for a child, not only one will come. This time around, four will come at once.
In Jesus' name.
If you're looking for a breakthrough, God will open a door. God himself will give you a sign. He will make the difficult. All right then. Okay? All right then.
Yes.
The Lord himself will give you the sign. Look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel. This is how Jesus was born. It was a sign over us. And we're all saved because of a sign. May you receive your own sign. People think Jesus just came. No, it was a sign. Somebody shout, I need a sign. Say, in my bank account. Over my project. Over my career. My family. Oh, Lord. Send a sign. I want you to pray that our sacrifices towards God, be it giving, character, whatsoever we do, should produce a sign. Raise your two hands. Say, Heavenly Father.
Heavenly Father.
I offer my body.
I offer my body.
A living sacrifice.
A living sacrifice.
So, Father.
So, Father.
Here I am.
Here I am.
As a sacrifice.
As a sacrifice.
Receive me.
Receive me, O God.
I offer my heart.
I offer my heart.
As a living sacrifice.
As a living sacrifice.
I offer my character.
And I offer my character.
As a living sacrifice.
As a living sacrifice.
I offer my behavior.
I offer my behavior.
As a living sacrifice.
As a living sacrifice.
O Heavenly Father.
O Heavenly Father.
Change me now.
Change me, O God.
By your power.
By your power.
I need a sign.
I need a sign.
So the nations can see.
So the nations.
So people can see.
So the people can see
the power of my sacrifice.
The power of my sacrifice.
I pray for you wherever you are.